Nectar Devotion in Mayapur, India, December 5th, 2012, Class 1. So I am sorry about this. This was not my intention to do it this way. But we're going to start with an overview. And you should be getting handouts at any moment. Just now coming. So this is, you don't have this. What I'm opening, you're supposed to have, and you don't have it. Which is very sad. But
I can go and check where they are.
If you'd like to do that, maybe they don't realize that we're waiting.
Okay.
It's possible. So what we want to do right now is just give you... I can't sit so I can see everybody. Somebody is missing. If I do this. We'd like to first just have an overview of the book. A Nectar of Devotion is an eminently practical book. Prabhupada calls it the science of bhakti yoga. And it really is a whole study of what is bhakti and how to practice bhakti. What is bhakti? What are the stages of bhakti? Who's eligible for bhakti? What is it? Who can do it? How do they do it? What do they get? Basically, is what the Nectar of Devotion is about. What is bhakti? Who can do bhakti? How do you do bhakti? And what do you get from doing bhakti? So this, in many books...
They're making them up and bringing them up.
Yes. Just like on different planets, time flows differently. I think in India also time is like a different planet and a little different concept of time. So you do not have to take notes on what I'm saying because you will get this, God willing, in the next few minutes. And I wanted you to have it in front of you, but anyway, so be it. In many books, the preface and the introduction are not an important part of the book itself. So in many books, you can start reading the book from chapter 1. The Nectar Devotion is not like that. Particularly the introduction to the Nectar Devotion is part of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu itself. So you can't just skip it. In the preface, Srila Prabhupada is convincing us why we should read this book. Now, any good teacher does that. They start off with motivation. What will you get? Why should you do it? Then also what Srila Prabhupada does in the preface is he goes through the words bhakti, rasam, rita, sindhu. Bhakti, rasa, amrita, sindhu. He explains what is bhakti, what is rasa, what is amrita, what is sindhu. He spends a lot of time on rasa. So that's what he's doing in the preface. What's the meaning of the title? What is this book all about? What will you get from it? And I should say that the preface to the Nectar of Devotion is one of my personal, total favorite sections in all of Srila Prabhupada's books. Absolutely. Oh, look at that. They're not bound now.
Is this really?
Oh, okay. And what is this?
This is...
Okay, you all have your papers now? Yeah, we know where you want to do it. Just so you're right here. Okay, does everybody have this page now? Said preface and introduction, prerequisite, 64 devotional items.
Yeah.
Introduction to say preface, introduction, chapter 1.
Yeah.
Okay. So this one page is a whole overview of the Nectar of Devotion on one page. So again, in the preface, Srila Prabhupada's doing what in the preface? Anybody remember what we just said? He's doing in the preface. Yes? Yes, so giving the meaning and definition of each word. Another thing that Srila Prabhupada is doing in the preface is showing you how the book is authentic. That's another thing that you... The whole purpose of the preface, the entire purpose of the preface is to do what? Motivate you. To get you hungry. It's the advertisement. To incite your desire to read the book. So Srila Prabhupada tells you the meaning of each word of Bhakti Rasa Amrita Sindhu, and he gives you the explanation of why the book is authentic. Then in the introduction, Srila Prabhupada... Yes?
Excuse me. They will just be given.
So the introduction is the actual start to the book. Again, it's not like an introduction in most books where that's separate from the book. And the introduction is, one could say, the most important part of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. It is giving what is the definition of pure bhakti. So you have, also there is the Mangalacharna. So that's really where Rupa Goswami's book starts, is in the introduction. So Rupa Goswami's Mangalacharna, invoking auspiciousness, Srila Prabhupada's own Mangalacharna, and then giving the definition of bhakti, definition of pure bhakti. What is pure bhakti? What is this book going to be about? What is bhakti? And we would say this is, if you don't get anything else at all out of these 8 days, you can learn that. That's sufficient. What is pure bhakti? Then in chapter 1, what are the 6 symptoms of bhakti? If you have pure bhakti, what does it look like? What do you get? What results did you get? How will you know if you have pure bhakti or not? It's like if you're going to buy gold or you're going to buy a diamond. What is gold? And then what characteristics does it have? For example, gold doesn't tarnish. If you have silver, it tarnishes, but gold doesn't tarnish. So the 6 characteristics of bhakti. And then, in chapter 2, who's eligible for bhakti? How do you begin bhakti? What are the requirements? Then there's a little definition of what is sadhana bhakti. What is bhakti in practice? And a discussion that the basic principle is to remember Krishna. Then in chapter 3, a little different way of looking at who's eligible for Vaidhi Sadhana. So chapter 2 is looking at who's eligible for pure bhakti altogether at any level of bhakti. What's the basic principle of starting pure bhakti? And chapter 3 is starting Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. What are the 3 levels of eligibility? And a little discussion of what's not part of the eligibility, bhakti and mukti, which goes on in chapter 4. Then chapter 5 is a very interesting chapter, very relevant to our life in the Hare Krishna movement and to our life in the world. What's not eligibility for bhakti? What do we not consider? Just like if you're applying to a school, they'll tell you these are the things that we are looking for and these are the things we don't care about. Like some schools, they'll say that we're need blind. Have you ever heard that? In other words, we don't look at how much money you have. So there are some schools that even if they charge money, they'll say if we accept you, we'll get you, and you don't have money, we'll arrange for you to get a scholarship. So they may be need blind. Some schools are, you know, like race blind, or gender blind, or age blind. Those are not considerations. So in the same way, Rupa Goswami is saying, what are the qualifications and what is not the qualifications? Quite interesting. May surprise you. All right, so now we'll know what is pure bhakti, who can start it, What are the levels of eligibility? What is not eligibility? And then, okay, what do I do? Because the definition so far in bhakti will be very general. What do I do specifically? Just like somebody might, I remember, you know, when I got married, just being told you should be a submissive wife. But I didn't really know what that was. I mean, I had the model of my mother, which had some good parts and bad parts. I wasn't really sure. What does a submissive wife do? What does she not do? So, you know, you need some very specifics. What do you say? What do you not say? What do you do? What do you not do? So then Rupa Goswami gives us 64 items. In chapter 6, he just lists. These are the 64 angas of bhakti. Then, chapter 7 through 12, he takes each of those items, he gives the scriptural references for them, and he may give some explanation of them. Well, interesting way to organize things, by the way. Just as a little side note, if you ever write a scholarly paper, you can take example from this way Rupa Goswami organizes things. You know, sometimes, I'm sure, you have seen devotees will give you a paper that's like 3,478 pages long about their particular philosophical point, right? Yes? And nobody wants to read through all of that? Yes? Correct? Yes? No? You can't be sleepy at 10:45. What's very nice is if you give just the points, because sometimes the quotes are very lengthy, and you end up having the whole papers taken up by quotes. So instead of doing that, Rupa Goswami first gives a list, and then he gives the quotes for each one. Okay. Then we have a little additional evidence. We could just say that the items really go in one sense through chapter 13. So through chapter 12 or through chapter 13. Then a little bit more discussion on the five most potent items of the 64. And then Rupa Goswami does what he did in the beginning about eligibility. He said, this is what eligibility is. This is what eligibility is not. Now he's going to do with the 64 practices. These are the practices of bhakti, and these are not. Now, the practices that are not bhakti are going to be very related to the not eligibility. Is that clear? So you have who's eligible to start bhakti and what we don't consider. Then how to do bhakti. And these things are not bhakti. So these things that are not bhakti, they have something to do with these things that are not eligibility. There's a connection between those. For example, your birth is not an eligibility requirement. So activities relating to your birth are not part of bhakti. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. So there, you'll see, you almost think, well, he's talking about the same thing. He already talked about that over there. But over here he's talking about eligibility, and over here he's talking about bhakti practices. Okay? Is that everybody clear on that? Okay. Yeah, we're just reviewing, so we'll go through this, all of this, of course, in very great detail. So that ends sadhana bhakti, vaidhi sadhana bhakti. Now we have two chapters on raganuga sadhana bhakti. So that's chapters 15 and 16. So this is still sadhana bhakti, but it's raganuga. And in chapters 15 and 16, we're again going to look at eligibility and practice. So for Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, we looked at who's eligible and what do you do. For Raganuga, who's eligible and what do you do. Then we come to, okay, you've done all this practice, 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 practice. What's the perfection? Where are you going? And this is a little different from the six symptoms of bhakti. So remember in the very beginning, what is bhakti and what are the symptoms of bhakti? But now, once you've become perfect in your practice of bhakti, what do you achieve? You could say it just like if you want to be an expert musician. You know, what are the symptoms of being a musician? Well, you're hitting the instrument in a certain way. You may feel very happy, etc., etc. But after you become expert, what do? You play in a concert hall. So that may be different. The symptoms may be you become expert, you get a good salary. But what are you doing? You're playing in a concert hall. So at the end, Rupa Goswami is talking about two levels of goals. One is bhava and one is prema. And both are considered in the category of goal rather than practice. So bhava is not in the category of practice. And Rupa Goswami has two chapters. The Srila Prabhupada puts it, it really does follow Rupa Goswami's chapters also. Has two chapters for bhava and one chapter for prema. So one chapter is really about bhava in general. What is bhava like in general? What are the general? How do you get to bhava? What sort of symptoms do you have? And the second chapter focuses especially on the 9 more objective symptoms of bhava. Then one chapter only in this part of the Nectar Devotion for what is prema, the ultimate goal. How do you get to prema? And what is prema? How do you achieve it? And what it is? And there will end our study of the Nectar Devotion in the Bhakti Shastra class. Now, there does not end the Nectar Devotion. There's 3 more parts to the Nectar Devotion, which we do not cover in Bhakti Shastra. I suppose we could, but these decisions were made by a group of devotees called the Board of Examiners, who decides which parts of which scriptures are in which Shastra study classes. Now, basically, the rest of the Nectar Devotion is dealing with bhava and prema. And maybe to some extent, Raghunuga Bhakti. So all the rest of the Nectar Devotion is bhava and prema, or you could say to some extent, Raghunuga Bhakti. It's going through the categories of the components of rasa and the different aspects of the 5 primary and 7 secondary rasas, and then how they combine with each other. So that part of the Nectar Devotion we do not study. All right, this is your overview on one page. And now if you turn the page, you see you have a very nice, very well done outline of the first 19 chapters of the Nectar of Devotion. And this does not include the preface, so this is starting with the introduction. So the introduction has the Mangalacharna, Guru Vandana, offering obeisances to Guru, to Vaishnavas, the goal of the book, the definition of pure bhakti, the qualities of pure bhakti, and each one of these are described. These are all the qualities, the 6 qualities of pure bhakti, qualification for understanding bhakti. If you turn the page, definition of sadhana bhakti, vaidhi bhakti, and you'll see at the bottom, raganuga bhakti. The next page is also about raganuga bhakti. On the next page, it says outline of bhava bhakti and outline of prema bhakti. Now, just these few pages here, we've got 1, 2, 3, 4 pages. These 4 pages here are a really excellent outline summary of the whole 19 chapters. So as we go through a chapter, you might find it very helpful to refer to these pages. It starts with, says, outline of Samanya Bhakti. You do have that? I hope you have that. Yes? Everybody has that? Okay. It starts with introduction there, and then there's 4 pages. Everybody sees that? Everybody has that? I would suggest, if you find outlines helpful... Perhaps some of you don't find outlines helpful. If you find outlines helpful, this really gives you an overview of all of the topics, all of the main topics in the 19 chapters. This is like a whole key to the book. So you basically have And then you have another overview before that, right? So you have basically three overviews, I believe, correct? All the way at the front. Did you have another one? Just that one, okay. So you have three overviews. Two overviews. You have two overviews. One that's one page, and one that's four pages. And I suggest that you refer especially to this four-page one as we go through our classes. Okay, if you turn to the next page. The one thing, I'm not sure how they were able to print it. Did the diacritics get messed up on the headers?
Yes.
Someday I'll have to fix that. As you go through this book, you'll find, again, one of the best summaries. I have several summaries in the Nectar Devotion. I believe this is one of the best ones that's around. It was put together many, many years ago. But this is a summary of most of the topics that we'll discuss. There'll be a few topics we'll discuss that I'll give you handouts for, and there's going to be a very, very few things where I'll just be writing on the board that you won't have in your book or handouts for. All right? And what I would like you to, of course, you just got this, so you couldn't have done this for this class, but what I'd basically like you to do for each class, again, my personal preference is that you do it before class. If some of you find that you would rather do it after class, if that works better for you, you could do that. I should mention, if you do it before class, your ability to participate in the class would also be higher, so your contribution to the class would be better. Would be to read the section in Nectar Devotion and also to read the corresponding section here. If you have Waves of Devotion, or if you're really fancy and you have Bhanu Swami's translation of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and you want to read that section before the class, then that's also certainly welcome. Okay, we're going to take a break in a couple minutes. Does anyone have any questions on the overview? Or any questions about how we're going to structure the class or anything like that?
We still have to follow the Bhakti handout as well?
The handbook. The handbook that also has a summary?
It has some questions and some notes. And we have to follow this, which is...
Your questions in your student handbook are going to be related to the questions on your exam. So if I mess up and I don't discuss any of the questions in that handbook, just remind me.
Is there anything from this that you give us that's going to be tested on, or we have to learn about some examinations?
Almost everything that you'll need to have on the exam is going to be in this book also. But I would make sure that you know the questions that are in your student guide.